Thanksgiving is just days away. Feast week is upon us. Will our tri-state teams be feasting? Will the Johnnies eat in Vegas? Will the Pirates pillage and plunder in Maui? Lots to talk about for sure here on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My name is Brian Dinovellis. We are brought to you by Mike Supa of RE/MAX Revolution. If you're looking to buy or sell a home down the Jersey Shore in Monmouth or Ocean counties, get in touch with Mike of RE/MAX Revolution. It's always a good time to talk to one of the best real estate agents on the planet. Give Mike a call, 201-988-2577. Tell him that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. And it's my pleasure to welcome back to the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast the head coach of Central Connecticut State University, Patrick Sellers, whose Blue Devils, get this, in an 11-day span, knocked off not one, but two Power 5 teams in Boston College and Rutgers. Coach, thanks for coming on. Great to see you. Great time to be a Blue Devil right now, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Our football team just won the NEC, back-to-back NEC championship yesterday. So, yeah, Blue Devils, everything's going good right now in Blue Devil land.
Yeah, hard-hitting New Britain. I was going to bring that up. Man, football and basketball, what a 24 hours it's been for Central Connecticut sports.
Yes, yeah. You know, all due to Tom Pinson's our AD. He does a great job, and so got to keep it going. We got a big game tomorrow night versus a tough Sacred Heart team. So that's where our mindset is right now.
Yeah, I know. And listen, I want to get to that, your old buddy, Anthony Latina. But first, I want to talk about, you know, what your team is doing this year, coach. And, you know, to go on the road to Rutgers, it's never easy. I don't care what their makeup is, right? A very tough environment, very tough building. And in all honesty, in my opinion, you beat them at Rutgers basketball. Tough, grinded it out, defended, rebounded. It was like you guys switched uniforms.
Now, you know what? So we have, I said this in the press conference after the game, everybody has new guys, 8, 9, 10 new guys, and we have 10 new guys, but we've been fortunate. We have three of our main guys are guys who have been here 2 or 3 years. So that helps us a lot. And so with those three guys, they know the system and they're really good teachers and they help the new guys, you know, learn the system. And then the other part of it is we recruited a couple of really good IQ guys so they can pick it up quick. So we just pair those three guys with the IQ guys and then, you know, we can do some, a lot of good things on offense and defense and we can make changes on the fly. So we can change our defensive coverages on the fly because these guys are so smart. And then Jay Rogers, you know, Jay Rogers has been here 4 years. He was out the last 2 years, just unfortunate with an ACL and a torn labrum in his hip. So, you know, he's like a fifth-year senior who's like, you know, running a point guard for us. So we've been lucky in that regard. And just having older guys who know how to play and been in the system for a little bit, it really helps us.
Yeah, Coach, you know, those three guys, you mentioned one of them, Jay Rogers, Max Frazier, Darren Smith. Those are your three players. You know, but they were behind stars last year. You know, Jordan Jones, NEC Player of the Year, Devin Hade, who since transferred to South Florida. You had two of the top two players, you know, top five players in the NEC last year. These guys, you're right. They either learned from them or sat behind them or, you know, kind of played roles. And waited their turn, so to speak. Jay probably would have played with them, but how big has that been? You know, like you said, third, fourth year guys, you know, waiting their turn, returning, and now reaping those benefits this year.
Yeah, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to Ben Wood and Laney Jefferson and Ryan Orlander. They do a lot of the recruiting. So, you know, Darren Smith is a really good player, and he would have started on any team last year in our league. But because he was so old and we were loaded, he didn't play. He played, but he was a sixth man, seventh man. So, you know, 7 points a game. He shot 43 from three, but he had 13 points versus St. Joe's at St. Joe's. He had big games for us. He had a 6 3-point game one game last year. He had some really good games for us. and he was our sixth or seventh man. So our coaching staff has done a great job of getting guys, to come in and play a role, and knowing that down the road they're going to have an opportunity to be the leaders. So Smitty waited his turn and he got his opportunity. Max Frazier, to me, is just as talented as anybody in the league. And I was saying that last year. But he came here, he was behind Abdul Momo, who was a fourth-year guy, really good ball screen defense, defensive player of the year in the league. So Max, kind of waited his turn, sat behind him, was a backup. He got an opportunity to start at Quinnipiac last year, against Quinnipiac last year. He had 17-9. So we knew Max had a lot of talent. And then, like you said, Jay would have been involved last year with that group, just, with just trying to come back from injury. So those three guys, and then one guy that nobody gives any love to, but he's probably as big a glue guy as anybody, is James Jones. James Jones can guard every position. He can play every position on offense. He has a super high IQ. And he played 20 games for us last year too. So Jay, and then we had a senior that came in late. So James kind of sat behind that senior and he didn't say a word, just came in every day and did his thing. So those four guys really like grown men, understand how to play. So it's really helped us a ton.
Culture, coach, you're building a culture there. And in this day of NIL, with guys just, looking to get paid, you've had retention, right? Recruiting, developing, and now retention. How have you been able to do that in this culture of, what are you going to pay me?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And it's hard. And what we do, I tell the guys, I say, hey, if you come here, and a lot of people are taking this motto too. If you come here and you give us 2 years, we'll help you go someplace else. And I kind of say the same thing. The difference is, a lot of guys, when I said this since we've been here, when guys go in the portal, usually the coach tells them, all right, pack your stuff, get out of the locker room, no weights, no anything, whatever. That's it. Where us, I'm telling them, if you go in the portal, we still want you still in the locker room. You still can lift weights with the team, with the strength coach. We want you in our postseason workouts because we want to have good postseason workouts. And when we bring recruits up, we put recruits through workouts. We want the recruits to work out versus our whole team. So our postseason workouts have been really good because we've had 15, 16 guys during the postseason workouts. Even guys who are graduating are still working out because they're trying to go play professional. And the guys in the portal are still working out because they want to stay in shape when they go to their next school. And there's no animosity. They're part, we always say family every day. So I was like, hey, it's family. And if you decide to go someplace else, we're going to help you, but we want you to be a part of us. So we've had 15, 16 guys in our postseason workouts, and that's been huge because it's allowed us to help. It allowed us to manage our recruiting and figure out if these guys, the recruits that we're bringing in, can fit into our system. So it's helped us a lot.
Man, how refreshing is that, right? It's easy to just say, all right, you know what? You want to go elsewhere? Here you go. Good luck. Thanks for your service and move on to the next team. But it's almost like a father figure, right? Family, you're treating them like human beings, coach. And
Right.
that goes a long way.
Guys, I think they appreciate it. So, like the guys, like you said, Devin Haye, Abdul Momo, guys who left, the guys who are playing in Europe now, I get a call, text, or something from these guys, two or three times a week, and they're playing for other schools now. And this coach, hey, man, great win last night. How's it going? Blah, blah, blah. They're just checking in. The guys in Europe are all watching all the games, online or whatever, and they're calling, oh man, you guys look good, blah, blah, blah. So it
Wow.
is a family atmosphere here, and that's what we talk about. And no
Yeah.
matter if they're another school or playing Europe or Asia, they're always going to be Blue Devils. We tell them that all the time.
I love that. That's how you build a culture. That is how you build a culture. And for those people who don't know, Central Connecticut, listen, they're not Duke, okay? We know that. They're not even UConn. They're not even UConn. And to go into that gymnasium, you and I have talked several times, coach. I've been in Dietrich Gymnasium, and it's a great atmosphere, but it's not the easiest place to win. and what you've done back to back 20-win seasons, building this culture, your back to back NEC championships in the regular season, defeating, right, Fordham, St. Joe's, UMass earlier this year, Boston College, now Rutgers, at a place like Central Connecticut. Coach, I've been in that, I've seen Central Connecticut years ago, right? Losing by 40, 50 to UConn and St. John's and Seton Hall and Providence, to see what you're doing there. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere, is what I'm saying, Coach. Kudos to you.
No, I appreciate it. It's the guys, man. We got the players. We try to recruit in this era when you got, speed dating. You get a kid in the portal, you got to make a decision really quick. And again, back to our staff and our players, the returners. We bring the recruits in. We talk to the staff. We want to try to find good people. So we talk to the families. Ben Wood always said, he makes fun of me all the time. He says, "Hey man, the dad is your age, your era. You're gonna love talking to him." So I'll try and get in with the father real quick, and we'll talk hoops or whatever, and we get a good feel. So if we get a good feel from the family, we know we're getting a good kid, and it's been working out for us.
But at the end of the day, you still have to sell something, right? You still have to sell, hey, why you should come here. So is there another selling point other than, family and culture?
Well, I always say, tell them too, like, I'm a huge NBA guy, so I watch NBA basketball all the time. And I say, "Hey man, we have a really good brand of basketball." So when we show, when the recruits come in and we show them film or whatever, I was like, if you're open, our rule is shoot it. If it's a rhythm shot, take the shot, don't look back." So we've had guys who've come here who were lesser three-point shooters in other places. And with us, if you're open, it's in rhythm, take the shot. And Jordan Jones only made 10 threes his year before he got here. And then last year, I think he shot 40% from three. He had a great year because, if he's open, take the shot. Allen Jean Rose, a couple of years ago, I think he probably shot in the teens from three point percentage. And with us, he shot 38% his last year here with us. So they like the way we play on offense. Defense, we work hard on defense, rebound. I said, "I'm gonna push you on defense." And then, "I'm not a screamer." I said, "So I'm not a screamer." I said, "The only thing that the downfall you're gonna have with me is I'm annoying. I can be annoying." So I said, "You can talk to the guys, they'll tell you I can be annoying." But other than that, it's a good atmosphere to play in. And Ben, I always go say to Ben and Lenny, they're always getting on me because I'm pretty happy. And so some days they come in and say, "Hey man, you gotta come at these guys. We need to be tough. We need to get on, we gotta get on them, gotta get on them." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right." But I learned a long time ago, you gotta be your personality. So usually I'm coming in, I'm pretty happy. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy, and the guys love that atmosphere. So that's a big selling point for us with the recruits.
So if you're mad, they're gonna know it, is what you're telling me.
Yes, yeah, they all know
Okay.
it.
Do me a favor though, Coach. When you show them, all the great tapes of how you well you play offensively and the great way that you play basketball, don't show them. I'm sorry to do this, but don't show them the St. Francis game and the NEC championship game last year.
Oh, that was a tough. Hey, I've been coaching for a long time, and I'm looking at Rob Kremel down at the other end. I'm like, "Man, this has got to be the worst offensive display in college basketball." We were both bad, and I think we were just worse than they were. I mean, yeah, we were a lot worse than St. Francis in the women's game.
I was watching that game. I had my brother was at the game. My cousin, my brother-in-law was at the game. You had, all the former greats, right? The Hightower brothers
Yeah,
and
we had
some
a
other
good
guys
crew,
there.
man. Good crew. We
Great,
just
great crew.
couldn't.
But you know what? The fact is, coach, is that you've built a team to you've rebuilt this roster to get back to where you are. So kudos to you to put that awful loss behind you and regroup this year.
That's the thing. We said we got to tip our hat to that group. We had 25 wins, longest winning streak, most road wins, Division One, all that stuff. And we can't let one night take away from what we did. I like those guys. I said, you guys are always be connected. I said, you guys gonna be in a group text. Remember this, remember that. You're gonna be laughing, talking the whole nine yards. So it's I want you to enjoy that experience. And then for this new group, we were like, hey fellas, and like Darren was a part of it. I said, Darren already said to the group, hey, we want to get right back to that spot again and take it to the next level. So that's the goal. But we talked about, I give him a quote every day, and the quote was yesterday is the journey, not the destination. So this is just another day in the journey.
Fantastic. One more thing about the Rutgers game, coach. The way you defended and really took their best player, Dylan Grant, out of the game, to me was very impressive. You made others beat you, and they couldn't do that. 2 for 10. How did you take him out of the game?
I'm telling James Jones, man. A lot of people they look at James Jones is, in my opinion, the best defensive player in the league, in our league. He can guard, and I think he can guard, and it doesn't matter what level, he can guard on the perimeter, a point guard, he can guard a four, even a five if we get in trouble. He can do a lot of different things. So he's really tough. He's got, a good-looking guy, really quiet, soft-spoken, but he's a tough-as-nails guy. And so we usually put James on the best offensive player and just kind of sick him on him, and he goes to work. So James did a good job. And then, I got, again, the IQ part of it. We got a lot of IQ guys. They can help each other and fix things. So when guys get in trouble, we can fix it just by talking our way out of trouble. And these guys do a good job of that too.
How did you out-rebound them? I mean, you were +4 on the glass, coach, and Max alone had 13 rebounds. I'm a big rebounding guy. Those numbers are very impressive against Rutgers.
Yeah, I mean, Rutgers, obviously, Coach Pikel is a great coach. And then, I learned so much from Pikes. And they're going to defend, they're going to rebound like crazy. So we talked about it all week. Hey, fellas, one of the keys is rebounding. So I reminded them on stop practice, what's the key to the game? Rebounding the basketball, keep them off the glass. So we had our guards, sticking their nose in there, helping Max out. Max is 210. And so Max is going to need help in their rebounding. So Max did a good job, and the guards really clamped down to help with the rebounding too. So that was good.
Yeah, no doubt. Ball control. You only had 7 turnovers in the game. Jay Rodgers had 9 assists, only 2 turnovers. Just all around great game, coach. But earlier this year, you took it to Boston College, right? Another team that I don't care what it says. I don't care if a team is down or not. These are Power 5 teams. You've been in this area a long time. You know the history of Boston College basketball. You win that game on a last second layup by Darren. By Darren Smith. What did that win do for the confidence of this team?
I would say in the last 3 years, it's sort of our mindset as a staff and the players. They're not wowed by high major, Power Five, whatever. So we're going into the game. Usually we go into the game and these guys say, we got a chance to win the game. It doesn't matter who we're playing. So that's been our mindset the last 3 years. And last year we played Providence. We led the whole game. I think we led like 34 minutes of the game. Lost it at the end. We made a bad out of bounds play. But the guys, the mindset is, they're just like us. And I always say, fellas, like they're gonna have a 6'11", 2 6'11" at Providence, pogo stick freshman, but they're freshmen. So when you get the ball, if you give them a shot fake, they're probably going to go for it. And now you can step through and kick it out or step through and lay it up. So they don't get spooked by the name on the jersey or how big they are or whatever. We talk about it all the time. So it's a mindset that we've had the last 3 years that's really been paying off for us.
Veteran mindset, veteran guys. That never changes in college basketball, coach. I don't care what level it is. Experience, wisdom matters.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think last year I was saying, Ben Wood is best friends with Mark Dignault, the coach at OKC.
Okay.
And they were both managers at UConn. And I was like, Ben, I said, I think we might be average age older than OKC last year. We were both cracking up laughing about it. But yeah, we have some old guys who they don't get spooked by the other teams. So it's just if we consistently defend, rebound, I always say we'll give ourselves a chance.
There you go. It's like blocking and tackling in football, right? The key ingredients, the fundamentals. You need fundamentals. You mentioned before, Coach Pikel. You guys go way back to your days of under Howie Dickeman, and you were at Central Connecticut playing. He was at UConn playing. So you're going. I'm losing track of how old we are, Coach. But I think that's about 35 years or so.
Long time.
That you go back with Pikel, you have a good bond with him.
Great bond. Pike, I give Pikes all the credit. Pikes is the reason I'm a college basketball coach. My brother played with Steve at UConn, so
Yeah,
I met
Rod.
Pikes way back when. And back then when I played here, we were on channel 59 or something every now and then. And my brother would watch the game and he would come to practice and Pike would say, "Hey, I was watching the game." So Pikes would be two guys watching the game with those two guys.
Right.
And so he introduced me to Pikes way back when he played. So when I came back from Europe, I started coaching high school in New Britain. And Pikes would invite me to practice and like basically sit down and give me time and show me what the practice plan was and help me out with a practice plan so I can go take it to my high school. And then there was an opportunity here as an assistant coach, and Pikes went to Coach D and said, "Pat's the guy. We got to get Pat. We got to get Pat." So he really helped me get in and he got me here. And Coach D kind of just threw me to the wolves. All right, go out, recruit, do a scouting report, whatever. And Steve Pikel and Anthony Latina, Pikes taught me how to recruit. He would give me a list of guys you need to see, this guy, that guy, this guy. And then I would come back late at night, and Anthony would help me with learning the scouting report, how to do a scouting report. So I credit those two guys a ton. Pikes was big instrumental in getting me involved in college coaching, so I owe a ton of them to him. So I talk to him a lot. I followed his career and everything he's done, and just extremely proud to be a part of the Central Connecticut family with Coach D and Pikes and Anthony Latina and those guys.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And the bond that you guys still share, and now you go up against Sacred Heart. We come full circle with this conversation, Coach. They got you last year at their place. It's great that two friends like yourselves, two colleagues, can still get together and coach against each other. So I credit you guys. They're in the MAC, you're in the Northeast Conference. You continue this relationship on and off the court. How about playing Sacred Heart and matching X's and O's with one of your mentors?
Oh man, Anthony is he's the best. He is the best. And like I said, I learned a ton from him, X and O's. If you go back to those teams when we were assistants together, Anthony was probably more the offensive guy and Pikes was more the defensive guy. So I was kind of in the middle between both of them. And Anthony, when you go fast forward now, Anthony, his teams are incredibly good on the offensive end. I think they're the number one team in America and 3-point attempt rate. They shoot 34 threes a game. And so they're really good at it. They made 16 last game versus Holy Cross. They put a lot of pressure on you to guard. And then what happens is because they shoot so many threes, they're one of the top 60 in the country in offensive rebounds because so many long rebounds. Floor so spaced, they get to the rebounds too. So we're gonna have a big time. Our hands are gonna be full tomorrow, trying to stop these guys from shooting so many threes, and then our offense and restopping them, boxing them out, and rebounding the basketball. So they do a really good job. And then they mix it up on defense, so they keep you guessing. They'll play some man, they'll hard hedge on ball screens, they'll play some 2-3 zone. So we're gonna have our hands full tomorrow with these guys in a big time game. And then Anthony's wife, she works at Central Connecticut.
Yes, I know that.
Texted me the other night, after the Rutgers game. So, I talk to her all the time too. So it's just a whole family thing. And tomorrow, we always and we shake hands before the game and we say, "Hey man, I'm always pulling for you 100%, except this game right here." So We'd be locked in for 40 minutes going at each other, and then after that, we're back to brothers.
And rightfully so, because you want to win, he wants to win. And I'm very intrigued by that game. A lot of big time players in that game, and the point guards, two of the best in the area, with Jay Rogers for you and Mekhi Conner out of
Yeah.
Notre Dame West Haven for Sacred Heart. That should be fun.
Yeah, those two guys are really good. Mekhi is a great player. He had a really good game at Holy Cross at 18 points the other night. So he's tough, man. He's a handful. We recruited him. We recruited him, so we know him well.
Yeah, listen, I know you're doing your homework. I know Anthony's doing his homework. Coach, I appreciate you taking time on this Sunday out of your busy schedule, to promote the Central Connecticut Blue Devils, a team that I've always, grown up watching and rooting for. And I'm pulling for you as well. I don't know who to root for in this game because I know both of you very well. So if there could be a tie, I wish there could be, but unfortunately, it
Right. Right.
won't be. All right,
Well,
Coach.
Ryan, thank you
Good
so
luck.
much for having me. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, Patrick Sellers. This guy is Central Connecticut through and through, and he is making a name for himself. He does it every year. Hey, he's no spring chicken. Okay, I'm just going to say it. He's a year or two older than me, 56, 57 years old. But you know what? If you can coach, you can coach. He's got it good there. At some point, if he wins the NEC, gets over the hump, gets Central Connecticut to the NCAA tournament for the first time since, the early 2000s. I think it was 2007 during those Howie Dickeman years. Then he is going to be sought after, and he will have to make a decision. Do I make that jump to whatever level it is, or do I stay here at Central? He's going to have a decision to make very soon. He is going to be a hot commodity. Trust me, Patrick Sellers. Hey, would Boston College come calling? The team that he just beat, I doubt that would be the case. Okay, but stranger things have happened. I could certainly see, an Atlantic 10 team, something like that, come calling, and who knows? But listen, let's just enjoy the ride, and we'll be pulling for Central Connecticut, no doubt. It's tough because, Sacred Heart coming off that win over Holy Cross, that is going to be a big time matchup in Connecticut, and two friends, two colleagues, two very close friends, and two people that I know dear. I know I'll be watching that game. That should be fun to watch. All right, let's go around the tri-state briefly. I want to touch upon some teams, most notably Rutgers, Seton Hall, and Iona, a little bit of UConn, St. John's, but those are the teams I really want to focus on. Let's begin with Rutgers. Is this rock bottom? I don't know if it is, but this season could be rock bottom for Rutgers because, yes, they were beating teams, they were beating Maine, they were beating American, but they were playing with fire. And I talked to Rutgers fans when I'm at the game, and yeah, they were winning, but they weren't impressed. We're not defending like we should be. Who's going to score? And that all came to fruition. I said it after the last win against American. What if Dylan Grant is taken out of the game? Then what? Well, all you saw in the game against Central Connecticut was Tariq Francis. That was it. There was nobody else. No one else stepped up for Rutgers. Dylan Grant was completely taken out of it. And this was clearly one of the worst losses in the Steve Peichel era. Was it the worst? I went back and looked because you can't remember every game, but the ones that I saw that really stood out were the ones that you do remember. Obviously, you go back to last year, losing at Kennesaw State with two, first round, two lottery picks in Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper, and but you know what? That was a buzzsaw. That was a bandbox gym, 3,000 people. That it reminded me of when John Calipari and Kentucky were in the NIT and they lost to Robert Morris, right? Just, it was they were just begging to be defeated. And there was no way Steve Peichel should have ever scheduled that game. I'm saying this loss to Central Connecticut is worse than that. Is it worse than the Lafayette game? That was the other one that really came to mind. Lafayette in 2021, Rutgers had one of its best teams. They went to the NCAA tournament under Steve Peichel, that team that lost to Notre Dame, but they had everybody. They had Dylan Harper. They had Paul Mulcahy. They had Geo Baker. They had Caleb McConnell, Mawat Magg. They were loaded. They were loaded. And Cliff Omori. And they were playing a Lafayette team that had no business being on the court with them. And Lafayette was in the game, in the game, in the game. And I remember in that game, I think it was Dylan Harper that hit a three to put them up one, put them up two with under 30 seconds to play. And then Lafayette, guy got open on the wing. They had a three-pointer with like 1 or 2 seconds to go. And Lafayette stunned Rutgers. I would probably put that one number one and Central number two. But you get the idea. There was also they also lost to Hartford and Stony Brook. Remember when they beat Seton Hall? When Seton Hall was ranked, they had Miles Powell, they had everybody. They had Angel Delgado, they had Desi Rodriguez, they had Kadeem Carrington, and Rutgers beat that Seton Hall team. And then the very next game, it was a total trap game. They lose to Stony Brook. And Steve Peichel's former team the very next game. I mean, the epitome of a letdown game, right? Coming off the high of beating your rival, a ranked Seton Hall team, and you come back and you lose to Stony Brook. Toss them all in a hat, whichever one you want. Lafayette, Stony Brook, Central, they all suck, right? But the bad news for Rutgers is that you're going to Vegas, coming off a loss. You're playing number 20 Tennessee. I mean, who's loaded, right? It would take a miracle to win that game. Then you have Notre Dame on a neutral court. Notre Dame will be favored in that game by a few points. You know, can you win that game? Maybe. But what if you don't, right? Then you're playing in some consolation game. You better hope you get like UNLV or a team like that because. You know, this tournament is just loaded with teams. You know, even the unranked teams are good, like Oregon, like Maryland, like Creighton. You know, do you match up with them? Baylor. I mean, you don't want any of these teams. So, Rutgers, you know, they're staring at 0-3 coming out of Vegas. Hopefully, they can win one game and have some type of any type of momentum, right? Any type of positivity. Because then you come home and forget it. You're playing number one Purdue in your building. Then you're going to Ann Arbor to play Michigan, number seven in the country. And then you have Seton Hall at their place, who's hungry, who you know will be favored in their place and wants revenge. So, Rutgers fans, the worst thing you can have is a seven-game losing streak. But that's the totality of what could be happening on the worst end of this. Seven straight losses. So at best, you're just hoping, you know what? Can we win two of these games? Can somehow we win one in Vegas? And I mean, I'm chalking up Purdue and Michigan as losses. Can you beat Seton Hall? Can you win one in Vegas? That's best case scenario. But even then, this team is not Big Ten prepared. The guards are undersized. It's a big concern. It's a major concern. Tariq Francis can score, but what is he going to do against Illinois' guards? What is he going to do against Michigan? What is he going to do against Purdue's guards? My goodness. I don't know. Jamichael Davis, Tariq Francis, they're nice players. They are not Big Ten starting point guards. That is a major problem. Many of these players on this Rutgers team, the way it was built coming off of last year, the way this team was built by Steve Peichel, that's the problem. He went young and he tried to, you know, throw whatever they had NIL-wise at players and player retention. But has Bryce Dortch gotten better? Has Emmanuel Agbole gotten better? Maybe. But are they Big Ten players? That's the real question. You're looking at one player on this team, Dylan Grant, who might come off the bench at best for more than half of these Big Ten teams, for 60, 70% of these Big Ten teams. He's not even starting. That's a problem. That's a problem. A lot of games left to be played, but this team is not built for the Big Ten the way it is, not this year's roster. And you could be staring at one of the worst seasons in Rutgers history, much like Seton Hall had last year. And how do you rebuild from there? The good news is you can rebuild quickly. You can. Seton Hall is proving that. So, Rutgers fans, they're screaming for Steve Peichel's head. He's not going anywhere right now. And with his contract running through 2030, I'm wondering if, Kelly Zinn is willing to pay that money to buy him out. I'm saying no. That's my opinion. I think Steve Peichel, even worst case scenario, I think he does come back for another year, but it is not looking good right now for Rutgers. Seton Hall, on the other hand, has done some things to improve. This is not an NCAA tournament team right now. You shouldn't even be thinking about the NCAA tournament. What I am saying, Seton Hall fans, is enjoy what's happening because this is refreshing. You're actually going to games enjoying this team. They're fun for the first time in 2 years. They actually look like a team. They're connected. They're passing the ball. They're playing offense. How refreshing. They're blocking shots. They're moving the basketball. What is this? They actually know how to pass the basketball, move the basketball, make the extra pass. Yes. And what do I like out of this team so far? I love Tawan Simpkins. To me, people are going to say AJ Staton McCray, and I get it, but Tawan Simpkins is their best shooter. He is smooth. Boy, is he fluid. These lefties like Solo Ball, right? I know he's struggling shooting the ball, but when these lefties shoot it, man, it just looks better, doesn't it? It just looks better. At 6'5", he's tall enough to get that shot off. It's a smooth stroke, shooting over 40% from three. He and Staton McRae have turned out to be a nice 1-2 combination. But to me, Tawan Simpkins is really, really developing into a player. And if they can ever, if Shaheen Holloway can ever get him into, playing some point guard minutes for this team, that's going to make a difference. Watch that for this team this year. All right. Watch and see the development of what Tawan Simpkins does with the ball and not just off the ball. Trey Parker is the backup point guard behind Bud Clark. We know Bud Clark has struggled. All right. He's still trying to find his way. I think he's a talented player. I think he wants to get better. And I think he's got a great relationship with Shaheen Holloway. Shaheen Holloway has a track record, a proven track record as an assistant coach and as a head coach of making point guards better. Give him time. Bud Clark will get better. But Tawan Simpkins, I love what he's doing. AJ Staton McRae, Najai Hines has had some ups and downs. We've seen it. But this 1-2 punch at center is really working for Seton Hall. Stephen Payne had a great game against New Haven. Najai Hines has had some great games. He's had some so-so games. He's got a groin injury. Word is he will play in Hawaii, and he's made the trip, obviously, and that is big. They need Najai Hines in this lineup. And there's a little connection with him and NC State. If you remember, NC State was a finalist for Najai Hines in the spring. Seton Hall won that recruiting battle. They were able to get and convinced Najai Hines to stay home instead of going to NC State. So let's see if Najai Hines, hopefully that groin is fine. Let's see what type of motivation he has in this game. But NC State is unlike any team they've played. They will be the best team Seton Hall faces in the preseason before they get to the Big East without question. They are the best team in Hawaii. They will be favored in a neutral court. They have one of the best offensive teams in the country. They're averaging over 100 points a game. They can shoot the three. They make 13 threes a game. They shoot 53% from the floor. I can go on and on and on. This is offense versus defense. That's what this is. Seton Hall's Achilles heel is defending the three. We saw Monmouth make threes in the first half. We saw Wagner make threes. We saw St. Peter's make threes. These are not NC State. These are teams that should not be shooting and making threes against Seton Hall. So I am sure that Shaheen Holloway and his staff are doing everything they can to make this team a better defensive three-point shooting defensive team. Otherwise, they're a nice defensive team. They are. They block shots. They're physical. They turn you over. There are a lot of good things Seton Hall does defensively. But defending the three is not one of them. They need to get better in that area. And if they don't, NC State can win this game by double digits easily. So that's the key to this game. Offense versus defense. Another team that I've watched. Have you watched them? Iona. An amazing start to this season. Dan Jarrow has come out and has proven that he can assemble talent and he can bring an NBA style of play where they shoot threes and they get up and down the court. He is doing it at Iona. He has surprised me how well he's put this collection of talent together because they totally overhauled this roster and there are players. And they've beaten Hofstra, they've beaten Fordham, they've beaten Kansas City. And guess what? If you didn't see it, in the Virgin Islands, they came back from 19 down in the second half, 19 points down with 11 minutes remaining to stun Oregon State. I saw the stat. They're down 19 with under 11 to go. They had a 99% chance of losing this game. Less 99.3 to be exact. Less than 1% chance of winning this game, according to ESPN.com. And they came back, won it in double overtime. It was Luke Jungers in the corner. They're down three in the final seconds. If I'm the Oregon State head coach, I am beside myself. You don't give up the three. If you've heard this podcast, you know how I feel about it. You foul. I call it the Boo Harvey rule from when Boo Harvey from St. John's, I think it was 1989, 1990, that season. Seton Hall was up three at the Meadowlands and they didn't foul. St. John's Boo Harvey hit a three to send the game in overtime. And St. John's won that game in overtime. Foul, not foul. Guess what? Oregon State didn't foul. Bad for the Beavers. Great for the Gaels. Luke Jungers with the jugular. The corner three to send the game into overtime. But if that wasn't enough, Iona was down again in the second overtime in the final minute, rallied again as CJ Anthony hit a couple of free throws with 5 seconds remaining. They send the game to a second overtime where the Gaels won it. 91-84. They dominated the second overtime. CJ Anthony has been unbelievable. The former walk-on from Cincinnati, I talked about him last time. Cannot say enough good things about this kid. Brilliant in this game. 22 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. The kid's averaging 16 points a game. He is a bull. He's a scoring machine. And he is right now serving notice to the rest of the MAC that he's a dude. So when you have guys like this, when you have guys like Laman Sabali doing it inside, 12 points, 8 rebounds, and you've got Jungers just hitting threes. I saw their game against Akron, and they lived and died by the three, and Akron was just better. Iona played their worst game of the season. Akron, ran them off the court. Iona couldn't buy a three. And how were they going to respond against Oregon State? How were they going to respond against a Power Five team? Down 19 with 11 minutes to go. That's how they responded. Win the game. If this is the fifth best team in the MAC, my God, then they're a two-bid league. This team is building a resume in the non-conference. Now, look, I know the Wild Wild MAC is yet to be here, but they have put in the most impressive non-conference to date, and it's not even Thanksgiving. If they could walk out of this tournament 2-1, if they win against Green Bay, can come home with a very impressive resume and come home 6-1 in their first seven games. Not even the most optimistic Iona fan would have ever predicted that. So that's Iona. I want to touch upon UConn and St. John's. UConn, a Sunday night game at People's Bank Arena. The final score is not indicative of this game. You're going to say, wow, UConn really blew out Bryant 72-49, but this was ugly. There's a lot to unravel here, good and bad. Let's touch upon some of the bullet points. Number one, Silas Demery Jr. Did his best impersonation of Tristan Newton. You've heard me compare him to Newton before, and I've said if Silas Demery Jr. can have the impact that Tristan Newton had, then boy, oh boy, UConn is going to the Final Four, and UConn can win a national championship with Silas Demery Jr. Well, just like Tristan Newton did, Silas Demery Jr. did a triple-double against Bryant. As a matter of fact, he's the first UConn player to have a triple-double since Tristan Newton did just a couple of years ago. 10 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. The last triple-double by Tristan Newton was against Villanova. 10 points, 16 rebounds, 10 assists. He has that look. He has that feel, that swagger. When you're a guard of that size and you're getting 10 rebounds, that is massive. And I'm telling you, this kid, the more he plays for UConn, the more he thrives in a UConn uniform, the more Silas Demery looks the part. It's Tristan Newton 2.0. But again, he has a long way to go before he's, the NCAA's most outstanding player in the Final Four before he's an All-American. But he certainly is doing things Tristan Newton-esque, right? Eric Reiba continues to really do big things in the absence of Terrace Reed. They're taking it slow with Terrace Reed, want him to get healthy, want him to get fully healthy because he's been dinged up since the preseason. Reiba led UConn in scoring for the second straight game, 16 points. You're seeing the development of a big time big man. He came in here with all the offensive flair, and you saw it. So it was Demery, it was Reiba, 16 points, six rebounds, Demery with a triple double. Everyone else, no one else played well for this team. In spurts, you saw a little Jay Stewart, you saw a little bit of Jaden Ross. Solo ball, I don't know what happened to his shot. He's got the junior jitters like Alex Caravan. The Huskies were horrendous shooting the ball. Thank God for their defense, and thank God, Bryan's not a great team, because UConn shot 1 for 14 in the second half from three. Ouch. 5 for 25 for the game. Yuck. If they play like this against Illinois, they're going to lose. They need to get Terrace Reed healthy. They need to get Braylon Mullins out there. This team will be much different, much different. All right. They got away, obviously, with no Terrace Reed tonight. They didn't need him against Bryant. They really could have used him against Arizona. I'm telling you, if they had Terrace Reed against Arizona, that would have been a different result. He is the most important player on this team. Arizona abused the Huskies on the boards. They abused them in the paint, manhandled in both areas. It's not often that a Danny Hurley coach team is out rebounded by 20 and dominated in the point, in the paint, the way Arizona did. Terrace Reed Jr. is the most important player on this team. They need to get him healthy. But the good news is a player like Eric Riba is taking advantage of his minutes. So Solo Ball needs to find a shot. Alex Caravan, after a great start to this season, he's gone MIA as well. Between the two of them, they were 2 for 13 from three. Yuck. They shot 5 for 21, Caravan and Ball combined. Get this out of your system. Get well. Just jump into the Connecticut River, get baptized, and get ready for Illinois. They have plenty of time to get ready. Go enjoy Thanksgiving and come out on Black Friday and have a statement win against a top 10 team in the country. They need it. Now let's talk a little bit St. John's. The Johnnies go into Vegas on a high. They're getting ready for Iowa State. They had a nice little tune-up against Bucknell, their best defensive performance of the season. But what continues to impress me is this team's offense. For the first time in program history, St. John's has scored 90 points in its first four games. First time in program history. They have weapon after weapon after weapon. And you don't know who's going to lead this team in scoring on any given night. We don't know who's going to lead them in scoring against Bucknell. It was Ian Jackson. Good for him. He is coming into his own. Whatever the role is, whether he starts or comes off the bench, they need Ian Jackson. He had 20 points against Bucknell. Bryce Hopkins led them in scoring again. It could be those two. It could be Zubi. It could be Dylan Mitchell, who was absolutely brilliant and put on a highlight reel, inside out, crossover, ankle breaking dribble in the open court for a two-handed jam that is one of the highlight reel plays of the season for this St. John's team. 10 points, 11 rebounds. He is a freakish athlete. Maybe freakish is strong, but he is a legit athlete. So anyone, even Josan Sannan, any one of these guys can lead this team in scoring. We know they can score. Can they defend? Well, they showed us for the first time this season that they can defend. It was their most impressive defensive performance of the season, holding Bucknell to 29% and 19% from three. They dominated this game, winning by 48 points. I know it's Bucknell, but that's the way you go into Vegas, where they are going to face an Iowa State team that has a very good backcourt, that is ranked and is favored in this game. I saw Iowa State is favored by 1.5, so the odds makers clearly favor Iowa State slightly. But honestly, it's a coin flip game. They play Iowa State, then they play Baylor, and then a TBD. St. John's, no worse. Come out of this tournament 2-1. Don't let what happened last year, where you went down to Atlantis and you lost two of three games. That would not be good. They get a Baylor team. Speaking of Atlantis, they get a Baylor team that they played last year. Zubi Ejiofor remembers that game very well. Missed a couple of free throws. I think it was two free throws late. I know he missed free throws. And then Baylor hits a wild half-court shot at the buzzer. So, a couple of interesting games coming up in Vegas for St. John's, where we're going to see where this team is at. Monday, Iowa State. Tuesday, 24 hours later, against Baylor, and then a team to be determined. Come out of this tournament 2-1. I mean, come out of it 3-0, and let's go. Let's go. That's the goal, but no worse than 2-1. All right. What a show it was. My thanks to Patrick Sellers from Hard Hit in New Britain, Central Connecticut State University. Put another notch in his belt for beating a Power Five team. They've beaten Boston College. They have beaten Rutgers. Take note, Northeast Conference. They, along with LIU, will be the teams to beat this year. So, what a start for them. My thanks to you for listening and sharing the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. And if you are looking to buy or sell a home down the Jersey Shore, don't forget, look no further than Mike Supa of RE/MAX Revolution. Give him a call at 201-988-2577. Tell him that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Until next time, enjoy the games, everyone. Enjoy Feast Week. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you next time right here on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast.